Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. It's been about 10 years since I've been in your church. I think the last time I was here, they hadn't even started on the new building yet. So it's a blessing to see that God has done great things here. And I'm honored to be here with our Sea Cadets. I would like to speak just a few minutes about the Sea Cadet program. It is a youth organization that's sponsored by the U.S. Navy. It's for kids between the ages of 10 and 18 years of age. There's two divisions in Sea Cadets. You have the League Cadets, which are 10 to 13-year-olds, and then our Sea Cadets, which are 13 to 18-year-olds. And it's one of the best-kept secrets in youth organizations, and I'm a part of it. I've been in the program for about 2 years. I have three kids, and all three of my children have been in the program. My youngest son, Luke, he was one of the cadets that presented the flag this morning. And he loves the program, but you know, it's not a Christian organization or program. However, I have seen God use my children's and my influence in the unit and be a blessing to others. I actually serve as the chaplain for the Flying Tiger Squadron, which is our commanding officer is right out of Milan, Indiana. We usually drill in Batesville or Milan. We have drills once a month. And it's a great organization to teach children discipline and honor, courage, and commitment are the three tenets.
Dismissed junior church.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Okay.
Junior church is dismissed. I apologize.
Junior church, you are dismissed. Thank you. Thank you, brother. The organization is a highly structured. If you have children that are interested in a government service or a military career, it's a great way for children to find out if that's for them. Essentially, how I got involved in it is I had two of my sons showed a strong interest in military service. I myself never served in the military. I've been in law enforcement for 25 years. Your pastor is our chaplain. I'm an Indiana conservation officer. I'm a lieutenant for them. I work out of our headquarters. But I also find my way on Brookville Reservoir on some weekends. But the Sea Cadets organization teaches kids about honor, courage, and commitment. It teaches them about patriotism. It teaches them discipline and responsibility. And if you have a child who has any interest at all in government or military services, it's a great way for them to see if that track is good for them. I myself, personally, I've been a Christian for 25 years, and I've raised my kids to be missionaries wherever they go. And if there's one thing I know from having been in law enforcement, and you know, essentially, I look at my job aside from the fact that I have, I think, one of the greatest careers in all the world. I have the opportunity to share my relationship with Jesus Christ with other people that I come in contact with, whether it's my coworkers or whether it's people I deal with on the job. And I want that for my kids. When my kids go and whatever it is God has prepared for them, I want them to be a missionary to wherever it is God has put them. And I believe, at least for my oldest son, he just received a scholarship, a four-year scholarship with the Air Force at ROTC. And it's my prayer that he will be a missionary to the United States Air Force someday and still get paid as a airman or as a officer in the United States Air Force. But aside from that, if you want more information about Sea Cadets, the squadron is right out of Milan, Indiana. We've got some brochures on the back by the sound booth. You're welcome to grab them. If you have any questions, I'll be here for at least half hour to an hour after the service. I'll answer any of your questions for you. But the real reason I'm here is to talk about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right? And what he's done for me and what he's done in my life and what he's done for our country and this great country that we live in. So if you have a Bible this morning, I want you to open up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 this morning. And as you're turning to your Bible, I just again want to thank your pastor and Brother Jeremiah for allowing me to be here and share with you what God has put on my heart. Share with you the program, the Sea Cadet program, and what it's all about. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 1. And I'm going to read a few verses here, and then I'm going to bring the message that God, I believe, has laid on my heart for this Independence Day weekend service, if you will. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The Word of God says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. But I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Let's go to the word, the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I'm thankful that you have kept it and preserved it for us today. And Father, I pray for the saints that are here this morning that you would speak through me and use me to minister to them. And Lord, preach your word and preach the whole counsel of God this morning. And Father, I pray for any lost souls here this morning, people that have never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And Father, no matter what's done, no matter what's happened today, I pray that you get all the honor and all the glory and all the praise for anything done. We love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Independence Day. That's the title of the message. And if you're a child of God and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit can accomplish in us things otherwise we could never accomplish on our own. I hope to remind everyone of how the Holy Spirit gives each of us that are saved liberty through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Independence means freedom or liberty from something. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, a lot of people believe when they make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that their life, their liberty is over, but it couldn't be further from the truth. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have liberty in Christ. You are freed from the bondage of the sin that you have been carrying your entire life and may not even have realized it. It says there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 in our text, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. I will never forget the day, 1993, at the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy, standing in the library one evening when the Lord spoke to my heart. And for the first time in my life at 24 years of age, I put my full faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the feeling of freedom and liberty, I'll never forget it. That weight of sin was lifted off my shoulders. And I never realized I even was carrying it. You see, liberty for the Christian means that you are freed from the penalty of sin. It also means that we have the liberty to do right, to do what the Lord God would have us to do, to bring glory and honor to Him. If there's one thing, if we have one job as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, it's to glorify God. It's to represent God on earth. For people to see our lives and to see our walks and to hear what we have to say and say, I want what he has, or I want what she has, or I want that liberty, that freedom that they speak of. A man once wrote this: a man's worst problems begins when he is able to do as he likes. You see, we don't get to do as we like. We get to do what he wants us to do. Amen? 1 Peter 2:15 tells us, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Now, doesn't it feel good when you do something only because you're a Christian, and then you see God bless it? Amen? I mean, maybe you shared Christ with a coworker. Maybe you took a stand for something that was just right to do. It was the right thing to do. It wasn't always the easiest thing to do, but it was the right thing to do. And you thought, man, what am I doing here? And then later you see God bless it. You see God water it and God give the increase. You see, if there's one theme for my message this morning, it's liberty. The liberty. Liberty. This liberty was also what this country's founding fathers fought and died for. Amen? So that today we have liberty to preach God's word. Today we have the liberty to share Christ without persecution. I mean, maybe we might get made fun of, or maybe people won't want to be around us, but in essence, we have the liberty. We can preach on the streets in America. We can pass out a gospel tract. We can share Christ because of the liberties that our founding fathers fought and died for. Amen? The Declaration of Independence was signed 241 years ago. And it declared these 13 American colonies were now independent from Great Britain. That's a blessing. You know, if nothing more, that pictures what we have in Jesus Christ. We are no longer under the tyranny of this world. We are no longer under the oppression of sin. We are free. We're free. It states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Abraham Lincoln said that this statement represented the moral standard and principles on how the Constitution should be interpreted. Let me say that again. He said that that statement that I just read to you represents the moral standard and principles on how the Constitution should be interpreted. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Their conviction resulted in untold sufferings for themselves and their families. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war. That's the price that was paid for us to live in liberty today. My challenge, my encouragement this morning is, don't take that for granted. My challenge, my encouragement to the Christians here this morning, those that have trusted Jesus Christ, is don't take for granted what you have in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed His blood for us. He was humiliated. He was spit on. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was scourged. And He did that for you and I. He did that so today we could live in liberty. There's only 2 that have ever offered to die for us. One and foremost is the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondarily is the veteran who serves so that we can maintain the liberty that we have in this country. Amen? So let me tell you this morning, 3 things. We have freedom from the slavery. First, we have freedom from the slavery. Look at verses 1 through 4 in our text. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. What the Apostle Paul is inspired here by the Holy Spirit to show us is this, that if you believe that your circumcision or that your good works or that anything you do outwardly has anything to do with your salvation, you have missed the plan of salvation. You have missed the grace of God. You have missed that you can't justify yourself before God. You can't even come close. And it's important for us to understand that while good works are encouraged, good works are not what justifies us before God. Acts chapter 15, verse 10, the Apostle Peter wrote, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? I think Acts chapter 15 is probably one of the most important chapters in the entire Word of God. Because you have the crossover, the bridge between the Old Testament saints under the law and keeping the law and the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter explains to those that are confused or those that want to put in works into their salvation that no, we are justified by faith. We, the Jews, are justified by faith just like the Gentiles are justified by faith. If you're saved here this morning, saint, it's by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, plus or minus nothing. Isn't that a blessing? You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. And guess what? As the preacher was teaching this morning, you don't even have to keep it. God keeps you saved. Amen? He seals you unto the day of redemption. If you're saved here this morning, you are sealed. You're sealed. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. You see, when you realize you are no longer under the bondage of the law, you no longer have to work for it or earn it. It's that liberty, that freedom of, you know what? If I fall, if I stumble, God's got my back. God has got my six. Amen? That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 says, even so we, when we're children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, it's ironic in this country. I know things seem to be waxing worse and worse, and we know that's prophesied in the Bible. And there's one organization out there, maybe some of you heard of it, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Have you ever heard of that? It's kind of like a spinoff of the ACLU. It's an organization that targets communities that try and make public displays of their faith in God, whether it's posting of the Ten Commandments or a nativity scene or something like that, or a chaplain praying in the name of Jesus for a military ceremony or something like that. But it's ironic that it's called Freedom From Religion Foundation because you know what? When I got saved, I lost my religion, okay? When I got saved, I got Jesus Christ. I got a personal relationship with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and no more religion. You say, what are you talking about? You see, for most people, religion is what man does to try and justify himself before God. In fact, if you do a study of the word religion or religious in the Bible, it occurs 7 times, and 6 out of the 7 times, it's a works-based kind of connotation. So if you're saved here this morning, you don't have religion, Christian. You have Jesus Christ. You have the Savior. You have eternal life. Amen? So just like the Jews couldn't keep the law, so do we struggle with keeping the law. Do we not? I mean, the spirit lusts against the flesh against the spirit, and the two are contrary, so that you can't do what you want to do. But just like the preacher was teaching this morning, whichever one you feed, whichever one you put the most effort into, that's the one that's going to prevail. That's the one that's going to dominate your life. That's going to one that help you live the life that is pleasing to the Lord. And someday, you'll hopefully hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Galatians 3:23 shows us that before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. The law was our teacher. You see, the law is there to show every man, woman, and child that you are guilty before a holy, righteous God. You say, "Brother John, that's not very nice." I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And I don't want to hide the truth. I don't want to conceal the truth. I don't want to sugarcoat the truth. You see, the law of God is there to declare that every man, every woman is unrighteous. And therefore, their need for Christ is evident. Their need for Christ is needful. I didn't get saved because I wanted a better life. I got saved because I realized I was lost and that I had an untaken care of sin debt. I can't change the past. But you know what? Who did change the past for me was the blood of Jesus Christ when I trusted Christ. Everything I'd ever done got covered. Everything I ever was going to do is covered. Now, man, that's liberty. That's independence. That was my Independence Day. Do you remember your Independence Day? I hope you do. Do you remember your Independence Day? If you don't, today could be your day of independence from the penalty of sin. So we have freedom from the slavery to the law. We also have freedom from the sentence of hell. Look at verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, in our text, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You see, before I trusted Christ, I used to say this foolish saying, "I can't believe in something I've never seen." How many of you heard somebody say that? Yeah. I can't believe in something I've never seen. You know what? We believe in things we never see all the time. In fact, faith that saves is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, evidence, you want to know what evidence is there of Jesus Christ? Every one of you in here that's saved, every one of you in here that's named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of you has been forgiven, has been redeemed. That's the evidence. And that He's still in the business of saving souls. Amen. You see, we have liberty and independence from the bondage of death and hell, which are our just rewards for our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages, the payment for our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If there's somebody here this morning that doesn't understand that, heaven is not a reward. Heaven is a gift. A gift is something that you don't deserve. A gift that is given to you that's paid for by somebody else. You want to know who paid your sin debt? Jesus Christ. In full. In full with His blood. Some 2,000 years ago, 2 Corinthians 1:9 said, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead." Don't trust yourselves. Don't trust in the government. Don't trust in any. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust Him. He is the one to trust. Eternal life is a wonderful thing. And it's a wonderful thing, if you think about it, that we don't get the sentence that we deserve. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:11, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set to them to do evil." It's discouraging seeing how far we have digressed from what is righteous and what's not. And it's discouraging to see that people don't believe that the consequences are real, the consequences are swift, and the consequences are sure, because we have a world now that we don't do that. We don't execute judgment swiftly. You want to know why things are waxing worse and worse? It's because there's no consequences. But there is a consequence someday. Because every man, every woman will have to face their Creator, will have to stand before God and give an account. And I hope that you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on your side. I hope that you understand that what you have in Christ has given you hope. Hope Baptist Church has given you peace, has given you eternal life. Titus chapter 1 says, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. You see, it's the mercy of God that saved me. It's the mercy of God that saved you. And it's the mercy of God that if you're not saved here this morning, that will save your soul this morning. Let me tell you something else that we have freedom from. Sorrow. Sorrow. Sorrow of a sin-filled life. Now, Christian, if we truly understand the grace of God and the mercy of God, you see, grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is getting something, is not getting what you deserve. You see, we deserve hell. We deserve eternal damnation for our sin. But we don't get that because of the mercy of God. And Christian, if you truly understand both grace and mercy, we should not experience sorrow. We should experience joy. We should experience the peace that passes all understanding. And that's the thing I keep going back to is, you know what, no matter how things go bad, or no matter how things don't work out like you want, or no matter how you just can't kick that habit, or you can't quit doing that one sin, you're still saved, aren't you? You're still going to heaven when you die, aren't you? Amen? John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 36, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Romans 6, 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We're servants of righteousness. You know what? I would hate to think what the United States of America would be like today if we didn't have places like this. If we didn't have Christians that stood for righteousness. Because we have come to a day and age where we are the minority. The Bible-believing Christian is a minority. And especially the Bible-believing Christian who tries to live their life according to the tenets and teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. To live their life righteous. To live their life to be light in a dark world. I've been serving the Lord for almost 25 years. And I'd have to say that in those times, some of the most unhappy people I have met have been Christians who have gotten out of the will of God. Christians who, at one point, they trusted Christ as their Savior. They lived for God, and then for one reason or another, they decided, you know what? I can't do it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to live it the way I want to live it, and God will give you the liberty to live it the way you want to live it, but you won't be happy. Yes, you might be happy for a season, but you won't be happy in the long haul. But you know what? We have such a great God. We have such a long-suffering God that no matter how far or how long we've been away, He'll let us come back. Amen? He'll have us back. And just like that, He'll have us back. If only we'll repent. If only we will restore fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If only we will simply humble ourselves and ask, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how I've been living my life. I'm sorry I've gotten away from Your Word. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Please restore my relationship with You so that I can have fellowship again. and so that I can begin to be a vessel that's meet and fit for the Master's use, so that I can bring glory and honor to you. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 7:21, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. I can say, next to my trusting Christ, being around other Christians, being around new Christians, being around professing Christians, being around people where you see God save them, you see Him pass from death to life before your very eyes, and you see that hope, you see that encouragement, you see that joy that they never had, they never experienced. That makes me happy. That's what I find to be a success, if you will. You see, God has saved us to be an ambassador for Christ. And as I stated earlier, you know, I've got three kids, and they all have aspirations to serve their country. And I have no problem with that. In fact, I feel like I've served my country through my community, through law enforcement. I think I've served my country through my volunteering for the USC Cadet Corps, preparing young men and women, the future of America. But our true goal, our true purpose, is to live a life that people see your life and they say, I want what he has. I want what she has. I want that peace that they know that when they breathe their last breath, that they will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Amen? We are all going to face eternity someday. We are all going to stand before God. And the question is this morning, will you stand before God alone, or will you stand before God with Jesus Christ as your righteousness? I don't know very many people here. There's a few of you I know. And I don't see the heart. God sees the heart. But I also know that God is still in the business of saving souls. I know that the Holy Spirit has liberty in here this morning. And I would be neglect of my duty as a Christian to not share with you this very important thing I'm getting ready to share with you. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I challenge you to make this morning your day of salvation. You're not joining a church. It's not a religious ceremony. It's a decision that you make between you and God. Will you realize that you're a sinner? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. He came down and He lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. And then He laid His life down on the cross to be the payment for the sins of the world. Yep. He was beaten. He was spit on. His beard was plucked out. He was nailed to a cross. The doctors say that more than likely he suffocated to death on that cross from the weight of his body. What a horrible death. But that death was payment for all the sins of the entire world. And the Bible makes it clear that salvation is in what Christ did for us, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose from the grave, according to the scriptures, the Bible says. And it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, thou shalt be saved. Not thy might be saved or thy hopefully be saved. Thou shalt be saved. That is the word of God. And God cannot lie. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now my question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I mean, you can take a chair, and you can say, yep, that's a chair. That's a chair. And you know what? That's a pretty sturdy chair too. That's a pretty good looking chair. It looks kind of comfy. But you know what? You don't trust that chair until you do what? That's right. You sit in it. You sit in it. You see, you can know the story of Jesus Christ. You can say, well, I know that happened. I know that happened. Yeah, I know that happened. Still not be saved. They say the distance between heaven and hell is 18 inches. 18 inches is the distance between your mind and your heart. You see, you can have an intellectual understanding of something and not believe it in your heart. The Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The simple truth is that if you have Jesus in your heart, guess what? It's going to come out your mouth. It's going to come out your mouth. You won't be able to stop it. I remember when I got saved, I couldn't wait to call somebody and say, hey, I got saved. Hey. Do you have that in your heart this morning? If you don't, you can take care of that this morning. You can trust Christ today. It's that simple. It takes a little bit of humility, a little bit of concern about your soul. I pray that you'd make that decision this morning. I'm going to end with this illustration. When I was about 16 years old, me and a couple of buddies of mine went squirrel hunting one time. And we went to Owen Putnam National Forest. And I didn't know the forest too well, but I thought I did, and we ended up getting lost. Three of us. Well, two of us and me. But I was the leader. I got them lost. All right? And we got lost at dark. I mean, we were going to head out right at dusk, you know? And it's like 8 o'clock and we're still walking around, 9 o'clock. Of course, we have no flashlight, no water, no coat, no nothing, no cell phone, no nothing, and it's getting 50 degrees, 45 degrees, 40 degrees. It got down to 35 degrees that night. We were so cold that all three of us would be like huddling on each other, and we'd try and fall asleep on the floor of the forest, and we'd wake up a half hour, hour later, who knows, and we'd all be just like violently shaking, shivering. So we'd get up and we'd start walking again. And we walked and we walked. I mean, we stumbled, and we were lost. We were helpless. And finally, it must have been about 3 or 4 in the morning, I heard this music way off in the distance. So we started heading towards the music. And we found this little bitty farmhouse at the end of this dead-end road. And we're like, okay, finally we get there. And we walk up there, and there's all these mean-looking guys. I mean, you know, you're 16 years old, and these are mean-looking guys, and they're all passed out, and there's beer kegs everywhere and everything else, and we're like, man, I don't think we want to wake these guys up. So we get on down the road, and we're walking down the road, and we're walking down this gravel road, and we're walking, and we have no idea where we're at. I mean, we're just trying to find some civilization so we could get out, because we're lost. And we're walking, And we're walking, and finally, off in the distance, I think I hear some gravel popping, like a truck's driving down the gravel road. And it must be 4 o'clock in the morning. It's still dark, pitch black. So I just take off running, and I'm running. I leave my buddies behind. I'm running. And I can see that this vehicle, this truck, is driving on another road that's getting ready to intersect the road I'm on. So I'm like, I'm going to miss this guy if I don't. So I'm running. And finally, I beat him to the intersection. I almost like throw myself in front of the truck, and he slams on the brakes and slides through the gravel and stops. And I walk up, and I'm like, hey, man, we're lost. Can you give us a ride back? He's like, sure, I'll give you a ride. Where are you parked at? And I said, well, we're parked over here at the Horseman's Campground. He's like, oh, that's like 40-minute drive away. The point I'm trying to make is that's how you have to have the desire to be found. Because the Bible talks about lost and saved. You see, you're saved if you know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're lost. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. If I could have the piano player come up. If you're lost in here this morning, if you were like me when I was 16 and you just want to be found, you want to know that you're forgiven, you want to know that you have Christ as your Savior, you can make today your day of salvation.